CliffCentral.com.
All right. It's Garbage with Only Happy When It Rains. Nice. Well, Garbage. I love that.
You wouldn't get a name like that in 2020.
No one would want to call themselves Garbage.
Oh, now we just have Little Yachty.
All right. Yeah, Little Yachty. Do me a favor. There's quite a lot of good material online if you are interested in reading some articles. I found one. I'll post these links on my social media after the show because they're quite handy. I think one of them I already did. From a number of, you know, kind of big thinkers in the world that they've managed to find collaborative themes on. And obviously this coronavirus outbreak has got everyone thinking, what is the world going to look like from now on?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a great article in the Financial Times, which I had to subscribe to in order to read, about from Yuval Noah Harari, the guy who wrote Sapiens and Homo Deus, about what this crisis effectively could do. And he broke it down into two things. He said, first of all, human social interaction is going to change tremendously. And he said that the big dilemma and dichotomy for people is going to be, do we give in to a totalitarian state that keeps us safe and then slowly claw back those liberties that we've given up? This is something I've been thinking about quite a lot lately. You know, when the government can shut down a country, close businesses, stop people from moving around, and effectively curtail all the freedoms that ordinary citizens would have in times of peace and in times of plenty, those things are very hard to get back. And his article was about primarily how much power do we give to government and when do they give it back? Ooh. That's the first part of it, because the alternative is that people cooperate. But we've seen that a lot of people just don't know how to cooperate.
Yeah,
they don't seem to be able to do the right thing. They don't seem to be able to mitigate risk. I mean, there are people in Miami with spring break at the moment that are partying. And they're like, man, I'm in a party. I don't care. I don't give a damn. I'm having fun, man.
I saw CBS News cover that story.
Oh,
and
my God.
It just so happened. Perhaps let's go with it as a coincidence and not just paint everyone in the same brush. But all, I'll say like four of those people in that news clip look like an extra in Michael Jackson's Thriller music video. They already look like they're dying.
Yeah.
So wouldn't exactly listen to them.
The other group that's quite interesting to watch is Italian mayors all over Italy who are losing it because people are violating quarantine. Obviously, you know, Italy's got a big problem. They've got the highest death rate in the world right now because of this epidemic. It's very old people and some young people. But this guy is so angry. He's like, I hear you want to throw a graduation party. Well, I'm going to send the police over with flamethrowers. Listen to this. This is what he says.
Mi arrivano notizie che qualcuno vorrebbe preparare la festa di laurea. Mandiamo i carabinieri, ma li mandiamo con i lanciafiamme.
Che domani ti becco, domani! Non pensiate tra anni, domani!
These, by the way, are regional presidents and mayors, and they're like, we are going to kill you. I'm going to have you fucked up.
I'm sorry, but yeah, that's necessary.
Don't be a stupid.
Sul mio territorio non si passeggia. Non vi posso impedire formalmente di uscire da casa? Bene, vi impedisco di passare sul suolo pubblico.
Allora mi rivolgo a voi. Ma dove cazzo andate? Dove andate?
Did you hear that? What the fuck are you all doing?
Oh,
that's the actual words he used there. You and your dumb.
Questi cani che c'hanno la prostata infiammata.
E voi non è previsto il ping pong. Non potete giocare a ping pong. Andiamo.
You're not allowed to play ping pong. Go home and play some video games. I'm the mayor of this city.
Il decreto lo faccio rispettare io.
I will make you follow this decree.
Devi andare a casa adesso. Non voglio le scuse.
I don't want excuses. You must go home.
Devi stare tutti a casa. Devi andare. Non si può stare.
How can I spell it out? You cannot stand in the streets.
Jesus.
Go a fucking your home.
You know what?
Love it.
If that is how people will hear the message.
Oh, I love it.
Then more power to that.
That's so great.
Because people are still, and I understand that, you know, something may mean a lot to you. But I saw a couple of people who are starting change.org petitions because it's so unfair that my graduation has been cancelled. It's like, I know you've worked for 3, 4, 5 years towards this degree, and this degree and this might mean a lot to you, but sorry, we can't have a public gathering right now. We can't do things like that. If there are people who are able to postpone their weddings, then I'm sure you can fall in line.
I think people will mostly. You know, if your instinct for self-preservation has to at some point kick in and supersede the need to party. Surely.
You know, the entire reason I was meant to go to Durban this weekend, and it was for a baby shower for my cousin. Now it's like, well, actually, no, I love you and wish you
you'll be fine.
All the best with your new baby, but no, not going to risk all of that. Sure. I might still go and just all right, sit at
is Leanne
beach.
On the line? Hey, yeah, hey, she's still there.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Still
so
here.
Let's go into some of the stories that you've found about coronavirus internationally and locally. Should we start with Japan?
Yeah, absolutely. The Olympics has, up until now, always been a go-ahead.
Yeah.
And Japan's prime minister has said nothing, you know, other than the fact that it's going ahead, except for now. It's his first acknowledgement that the 2020 Games may not open as scheduled on the 24th of July. And it's I think it's been a huge step for him to do this because he has finally conceded after a lot of pressure from athletes and sports bodies, a lot of athletes saying that they wouldn't participate, sports bodies withdrawing their athletes from the competition. And obviously billions and billions go into the preparation for the Olympics.
Oh, yes.
It's now country leaders who are saying it's clear the games can't be held, etc. And he's finally folded and said, okay, it may not happen.
Sure. Yeah, they were definitely trying to play hardball there and saying, no, we're going ahead and nothing's going to stop us. So it's interesting that even they've changed their tack. Very, very scary.
It would have been such a beautiful celebration had the virus been cleared from around the world. And this was the first public gathering where no one had any fear.
Yeah.
It would have just been so amazing. And I think the most widely watched Olympics ever, don't you think?
Yeah, probably. It would have given everybody a reason to feel some solidarity too. But I don't know. It seems a bit premature to promise that you can host them when you don't know for sure that you're going to be corona-free by then. A lot of the athletes also, including the U.S. swimming team, are saying that they will not take part because they're afraid of what they could catch if they went to these Olympics. Now, apparently, we've got some coronavirus medical supplies that have been donated by Jack Ma and Alibaba, and they've landed in Ethiopia, and they're for every African country. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's the Jack Ma Foundation and the Alibaba Foundation. They've donated 100,000 medical masks, 20,000 test kits, and 1,000 protective suits and face shields to each of the 54 nations on the African continent.
Oh.
Okay.
I saw video of that as it landed, and I thought, oh, this is great.
Up to now, the only really famous people who've got the coronavirus are Idris Elba and Tom Hanks and his wife.
Anybody else? That list has gone way longer over the past couple of days.
All right.
So the latest ones I'm seeing are Placido Domingo, who's of the three tenors.
But Placido has bigger fish to fry. He's just so, you know what? I think it's also his age where he just doesn't give at all. Remember a couple of months ago, we covered the fact that he has these Me Too.
He was accused of some sexual shenanigans with women.
So he's basically fessed up to it probably 2 weeks ago, a week ago. He was like, yeah, I did it. It's not funny. But I think it was just his tone in the statement that he released. He was just like, yeah, I did it, and yeah, I'm sorry. But kind of sounds like someone had to force him to apologize.
I mentioned earlier that New York is the state hardest hit by coronavirus in America, and guess who has just been diagnosed positive for COVID-19? Harvey.
Well, this is exactly why I said both famous and infamous people.
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein.
See, now, I don't know. do we believe this just yet? Everything that I've been seeing says it's a report.
No, they tested him in prison, and he has tested positive for the coronavirus while in prison. An official from the prison briefed on the matter, confirmed to BuzzFeed News. He was immediately taken into custody upon conviction just a few days ago. Before he entered the system, he was treated at Bellevue Hospital and later was transferred to Rikers Island Jail. And then he was again taken to the hospital, and they tested him, and they said, ooh, you've got coronavirus. Now, Harvey Weinstein is how old? He's 68 years old.
Yeah.
So he's right in the eye of the storm in terms of that, and he didn't look like a well man going into court, but we thought that he was maybe just playing it up. So what do we know?
Well, that's just it, is what Sia is saying. I'm also only seeing that, you know, it'll have the heading that he's been diagnosed, a semicolon, and reports.
So I think it's his team working overtime yet. On something like this. But Andy Cohen, he's from the Bravo Network in the United States. He's announced that he has the coronavirus. There are some actors on some series that aren't really popular here in South Africa. Something like Younger, there's an actor on that series who has contracted the coronavirus. And then here in South Africa, we have, speaking of the Olympics actually a little earlier, Cameron van der Berg, he's announced that he has the virus. And he brought it up actually yesterday on his Twitter account because he wanted to add his voice to comment on how irresponsible he feels it might be to still have the Olympics just yet. So in a thread, he says, I've been struggling with COVID-19 for 14 days today. By far the worst virus I have ever endured, despite being a healthy individual with strong lungs. And then he says, no smoking, et cetera, et cetera. Living a healthy lifestyle and being young. And then in brackets, he says, least at risk demographic. He continues to write, although the most severe symptoms, extreme fever, have eased, I'm still struggling with serious fatigue and a residual cough that I can't shake. Any physical activity like walking leaves me exhausted for hours. The loss in body conditioning has been immense and can only feel for the athletes that contract COVID-19, as they will suffer great loss of current conditioning through the last training cycle, infection closer to competition being the worst. And then he concludes by saying athletes will continue to train as there's no clarification around the summer games and thus are exposing themselves to unnecessary risk. And those that do contract will try rush back to training, most likely enhancing or extending the damage and recovery time. Please look after yourself, everyone. Health comes first. COVID-19 is no joke.
Hmm. Well, I think what's also super scary is that the coronavirus, once you are infected and you are experiencing symptoms to the extent that he is, it can actually cause some permanent damage to the lungs. And that's what's really difficult for athletes to take into consideration, you know, where any slight change in their ability to perform well, including their bodily functions like breathing, are now at risk.
Sure. And that worries me a lot because then clearly there are a lot of complications to this that we hadn't yet foreseen, and that perhaps it's not as cut and dried as we thought it was, that old people and people who have respiratory conditions and people who are immunocompromised are the only risk categories. Clearly not. It does affect other people too, like any disease, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The Israeli defense minister put out a really great video, which I think everybody should watch, because the Israelis are coming down hard on trying to stop the spread of the virus inside of Israel. And they've advised that the very best thing you can do is not wash your hands, social distancing.
What is it?
Not standing too close to people, etc. He says the best thing you can do is keep children away from their grandparents.
Oh.
So the very young must stay away from the very old. And I suddenly thought, oh, in South Africa, a lot of the very old are looking after the very young and vice versa.
This is so true.
So that made me very worried, but it's something to consider. I mean, I said to my parents, maybe you should stay away from my brother's kids for a little bit.
Right.
Which obviously they don't want to do, you know. They love being around them. But I said it's probably for your good and to your detriment if you don't.
Yeah. Prince Albert, he also has the virus.
Really? Prince Albert's got it too.
He's 62 years old. I didn't realize he was that old.
This is Charlene's turn to run away. I mean, now's the time to make an escape.
Not laughing.
She's been in quarantine for so many years, and now it's him. I can get out.
He became the first head of state to publicly announce testing positive for the virus. This was 4 days ago. He is currently being treated by doctors from the Prince Grace Hospital, and though he says that he's still continuing to work from his home office in the palace. Hmm. And then, Leanne, did you hear about the former US bachelor, the Virgin Bachelor? He also tested positive for the virus.
Yes, that would be Colton, right?
Mm. He tested positive 2 days ago.
Did you just call him the Virgin Bachelor? Explain what you're talking about.
Oh, no, because they made the whole series based on the fact that he's a virgin. And so he's now seeking love and he wants to, you know, marry someone and just lose his virginity to someone you love. Honey, you're going to lose your virginity to someone in the back of a car and you aren't going to fall in love with them. You need to just...
No, but if it is Colton who I'm thinking about,
yeah,
he was contestant on The Bachelorette, and everyone then knew that he was a virgin. Oh. Then he went on to become The Bachelor, and he did. I'm trying to remember if he did find love or not. Yes, he did. He actually rejected her and then took back his word and went and found her, and the two of them are still together. So he's definitely not a virgin anymore.
Did he stop her?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Stop. That's
he's
nice.
No longer a virgin.
Oh, all right. Okay, all right. Who is there? Anyone else that's famous that has the Roro?
That's about the most people that we know.
Okay,
possibly the greatest footballer of all time. I hate to bore you with that, but Paolo Maldini. Who's
really?
Yeah, yeah. No, he's he's in Italy, so he's likely, but he is like the guy in football history.
Well, here's an interesting story that is worth telling, because Vinny just sent it to me now. A friend of his was supposed to get married in Italy. She and her partner paid the cost of the wedding a few months ago. They've lost all the money. They only got credit for their flights that were reimbursed. Italy told them they cannot get married there. Good that I didn't book my flights. I already canceled my flights to South Africa to do that DNA test. Yeah, Vinny's got an interesting story that he's going to pick up, obviously, when all of this craziness is over. Apparently, Leanne, someone's correcting you here about Colton. Apparently, he got rejected and then booted the other chicks and went for the one that rejected him.
That's always going to work.
Okay, very good. I wish I knew who any of these people were.
Yeah. And for the Italy person, I have no sympathy. Serves you right for having a location wedding. I feel nothing for you.
I know, you're a horrible, cold person.
I feel nothing for you.
You know, it's their special day. You don't want people to have... you do want people to have the wedding of their dreams, Mbulelo. Don't be so cruel.
Courthouse, 5 minutes, get back to work.
Yeah, sure. That's exactly why you're single.
That's also true. Yeah.
Jesus. Now, you know who Jane Dutton is, right?
I do. She's aged like Benjamin Button.
By the way, she looks
unbelievable.
She looks phenomenal. She's on ENCA. She's a news anchor. Now, she actually has not been on TV for the last little while, and you may have noticed this. The reason is... because she is under self-quarantine. She just got back from the US very recently, and we wanted to find out how it's been going for her. She's going to tell us about it. We do have to find some things that we can all do while we're self-quarantining to keep ourselves amused, because I'm not talking about work stuff, obviously, which you can probably find a way of continuing while all of this madness is going on, but I'm talking about what you're going to do in your spare time, because you can't actually have people around. There's not very much you can do to fill up the time. And maybe we should invent some games and come up with some interesting things for people to do to keep things going.
Well, Jane, it's not only the games, but I've often wondered, what do we look like going into quarantine and what will we look like when we come out? You could do like a whole surprise reveal of what you look like.
Well, I was in my house last night and I suddenly decided to do a bunch of push-ups. And I thought, I haven't been to gym for a week, and I was feeling very lazy and lethargic about it. Also, I'm eating right during this time, which I think is going to be difficult, but you've got to. It's a chance to improve yourself. But then I've been talking to friends, and some of them are just going to let their beards grow. They're going to come out looking like a castaway. That might be quite fun.
I mean, you realize we're now going to know all of our friends' real natural hair color.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to find out what they really look like when they don't get to go to the beauty salon every week. Well, Ruth was saying she started watching Seven Worlds, One Planet, and we spoke to the producer of that show just the other day. Breathtaking. She choked up at the number of times she saw how brilliant the planet is, and Mother Nature is a goddess and ruler of all. She will conquer us all at the end of the day. We must change our ways, particularly of how we treat nature and animals. Try to stay positive, people. Share happy thoughts and be kind with your words during this coronavirus epidemic. But that's actually a good idea, to watch shows like that that give you an idea of your place in the cosmos, because you might be a little bit less surprised that we've been hit by something. It's more surprising that we haven't up to now.
Mm.
You agree?
I totally do. And those are a masterpiece. They're really emotive pieces. If you haven't seen Planet Earth, Blue Planet, and then this, I cannot wait to watch it. But yeah, no, our place in the cosmos, grain of sand in the desert.
All right, I mentioned Jane Dutton. She's on the line. Jane, how are you? You got back from the US a while ago and you've quarantined yourself.
Good morning. Well, I mean, other than having a blocked nose at the moment, I've never felt better. And, I've got another 5 days to go before I get out of this incarceration. I nearly didn't speak to you this morning, though. I was in the middle of a meltdown with my 8-year-old father, feral twins. And I think that's one of the fallouts that happens, isn't it? You get very close with your family.
you suddenly realize that you have to spend all your time with your family, and it's not as pleasant as some people think. So, Jane, when are you going back to the office? You said in 5 days' time.
So I got back from the States last Saturday, and I did quite a mammoth trip. I flew from Sacramento to LA to Dubai and then to Johannesburg. So,
wow.
Even though all the airports were very empty, obviously, you know, frightening times and a frightening route. So we decided that the best action to take was to self-quarantine myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then Friday will be my last day, and I reemerge.
Now, it's interesting.
I'm fascinated.
We're all looking forward to seeing you on TV again as well, but the interim period with the traveling must have been quite interesting. Were airports already starting to take precautions? Were some of them in shutdown mode? Were they short-staffed? Were they starting to thin out?
You know, when I left the beginning of the month, I remember having a discussion with my partner on air, Twally, and he said, is it wise to go? And I was like, I'm a little nervous, but then it still seemed okay. You know, it's all before it all kind of exploded. So we were left, everything was functioning as normal. Planes were packed, no disinfectants or anything at the airport, all that kind of stuff, the whole way through the States. And then the 2 weeks that I was in the States, I didn't catch any planes. So everything was fine, a lot of people walking around with masks, that sort of thing. And then it all just went plastic in those 2 weeks. So coming back, when I flew into LA, which is such a busy airport, it was really empty. There were sanitizers everywhere. And the woman who helped get the bags on said, it's pretty frightening for them because 2 people had just been diagnosed or confirmed cases, who were working at the airport.
Wow.
And then our plane was really, really empty, which, made it a joy because we all got 4 seats, but you could feel it there. And then the weirdest thing for me, I lived in the Middle East, and so I know, Qatar and Dubai, some of the busiest airports in the world, and Dubai was really empty. There were more workers than there were travelers. And a lot of them had face masks on. That was about it. And all the restaurants were empty.
Well, I've got to commend you on doing the responsible thing, because a lot of people might have gone straight back to work and thought that there was no reason to be extra panicky. But I suppose in South Africa, we have to all be aware of the risks to people outside of our immediate families. And if we are subjected to this virus in some way, shape or form, it's probably a good idea for you to remove yourself and kind of make sure that you're in the safe zone and then get back out there and do things.
You know, when I first arrived, I walked into the house. My mom is 82 years old. I keep saying, oh, God, I don't want to have those sentences because I killed my mother. But I gave her a picture of her, and we chat, and halfway through the day, I was like, oh, my word, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I should be locked up. So it did take a while to think it, because, you know what, it doesn't feel like a reality until you probably see it or feel it. And then I spoke to work, and we said, okay, listen, this is the wise thing to do. And I'm very glad I did it. I also went for a test, which was probably, I don't know if that was irresponsible because I know it's overloading the system, but I thought, seeing as I've been to so many airports, I should take the test. But the system is so overloaded, I took it on Monday, I still haven't got results, which the doctor told me is probably a good thing. So the system is overloaded. People have to be careful. Don't, you know, if you've got a runny nose, just don't go run in any sort of panic. But I think self-isolation is key. I know in Qatar that if there are two people in a car, they will find you. And I'm surprised that we're not taking more draconian measures here. I really think that we should be under lockdown, that, you know, gathering of 100 people is ridiculous. I think we really need to take this seriously because I don't know if you've heard accounts of what people actually go through when they think, when they get this. It's frightening. We don't want to go there.
No, absolutely. Now, when you got back, you did present yourself for testing, right?
Yes, I went for testing, excuse me, last Monday. And that was a bit of a crazy scene. There were, I don't know, several hundred people all standing in a queue, which made everyone panic because you don't want to be standing around people who could be, you know, who could be positive or not. And then, fortunately, I wasn't in that queue for long, even though we kept, you know, lots of distance. But the nurse then came through and said, you know, why don't you drive through rather? So I did a drive through test.
And what do they do? They do a swab?
I went to the doctor first, sorry. I went to the doctor first. We test your lung capacity and your temperature. And then with the drive through, they stick a swab up your nose, which you should get back in 72 hours because that's how long it takes to mature.
Wow.
But they've got such an overload of people doing this that they can't get the results out in time.
Okay, we look forward to having you back on the screen soon on ENCA. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good to talk to you, Jane Dutton. And she's going through her own self-quarantine at the moment, something that we all are going to have to get used to sooner or later. What are we going to do, man?
Oh, man. We're actually going to have to love our partners. That's the hardest part.
You don't have any. What are you talking
about? Well, I don't know. Hypothetically. Like, I'm imagining what other people's lives are like.
I'm just thinking about I'll get my house sorted out and cleaned and tidied and organized within 2 days.
Yeah.
And then what am I going to do for the rest of that time? We could be in this situation for a month or more.
Maybe take some courses. A guy like you would need probably to maybe take an online course for somebody like yourself.
Yeah, I like the idea of that. Mm. But I also think, if you bite off too much and then you end up almost frustrated by the fact that now you have more things to do. I mean, we've still got a business to run here, and largely we can run our business online, happily. I don't think everybody's in that position.
Yeah, and I don't want to be crass, but most of this world could do with doing just a little bit more exercise. I don't want to be like too rude. Okay. Exercise is a good one. Right. Get that body healthy.
Good idea.
And then you come back, like Leanne said, you reveal. Boom.
That's right. Well, there's a funny comment that Gabriella's just made. She said, all the gym butts are going to come back looking so small. Excellent. Very good. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And then I saw someone saying that lifeguards are going to take their work home. They're going to do their work from home. And there's this guy sitting in a very high chair next to his wife in the bath. All right. Brandon sent this in. We have a guy at work who came in straight from Dubai last week. Straight after Cyril's address, he was sent home 2 days later. People don't realize that their arrogance and selfishness could cause someone else's demise. Think about it. Hmm. It's about right. And then there are free Ivy League university courses that you can take online. At qz.com, you can go and have a look at them. That's interesting. That sounds really good. My business will not survive a lockdown any longer than a week. We employ 150 people. 9 years of blood, sweat, and tears will be gone. I'm absolutely shitting myself, says Carl. Sure, Carl. I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. We've got to make a plan. I mean, we've got to try and get through this as quickly as possible. Maybe there's some way that small businesses can be supported financially, perhaps by bigger businesses, perhaps by government, perhaps by the us consumers. I'm not sure. I don't know how to advise you. I really don't. And for me to even try would just be patronizing.
Carl, I have it on good authority from a reliable source that all of our banks, all of the big banks and the Reserve Bank are in serious talks as we speak to see how they can help SMEs. So that's happening right now. Heard that yesterday. So, holding thumbs.
Well, that's good news. Let's hope that that comes to fruition too. Gareth Armstrong is no stranger to CliffCentral.com, and we want to know from him what it was like to be in the center of the coronavirus storm when it first broke out. He's the former host of Future CEOs. He's also been living in China for some time. He moved there with his wife. They were in for an experience, but man, you didn't have this in mind, did you, Gareth?
No, we certainly didn't. Wow. It was an adventure of note when we suddenly found ourselves in a high security environment, not being able to move as freely as we would like. And the sad thing is we had a great experience when we first arrived, and it just kind of went south.
Yeah, your timing maybe could have been a bit better, but then in retrospect, you know, hindsight is 20/20 vision. Let me just hear, because you guys went to China to work. You came back soon after the initial virus outbreak, and you've been in self-quarantine, just like Jane Dutton before you, and you are on Skype to tell us about the experience. So let's start at the beginning. You and Stephanie moved there for 5 months, right?
Yeah, we went there to go and look at the environment, and my wife is much smarter than I am, and we were planning to just to see what it was like if we were going to go and spend an extended period of time there, with her doing her master's degree. We arrived in Beijing, and from day one it was quite a fantastic experience. It's in many ways a first world environment, and I think China gets a lot of flack from Western media for all sorts of things, and rightly so in some cases. But we found ourselves in an environment that we loved, and we began to, I think the best way to describe it is almost thrive in.
Okay.
Sadly, though, then we also soon discovered that there were some things that were going on that we were hearing rumors more than anything else. And as you know, the social media there is quite highly regulated and monitored. And so things were never – there was no clarity on these rumors, but there were these just little – hums and the occasional message that would come through.
Mm-hmm.
Then it just started getting tighter, and you could feel it. People's sense of, I think we could call it general anxiety. It was just a raised sense of it, and then slowly things just, as I say, got tighter and tighter, and people, the streets that were generally very, very condensed, lots of foot traffic, lots of people, just it started getting lighter and lighter, and my wife and I were looking at each other saying, what in the world? And then we just started to dig and started learning quite a lot of information. Thank heavens for VPNs, so that we could look out into the world and hear what was going on.
So when you'd now heard these rumors and you'd started to think that there may be something going on, how were your liberties curtailed? I mean, like, how were you suddenly found? How did you find yourself unable to do the things that you were doing just a few days before?
Well, it was just a heightened state of control. So the way that certainly Beijing works is that everything's divided into blocks, and so complex residential complexes and housing, everything's divided into these blocks, and every block has an assigned government official or police officer for easy reference for the rest of us who haven't experienced that before. And what happened was that one police officer turned into two, turned into three, and suddenly we had security at the gates of all of these residential complexes. So whether we wanted to go and visit a familiar face or whether we just wanted to go to a store, suddenly we were essentially signing in and out of our complex, whereas before we were absolutely free to roam. Additional things, we just saw shops, empty shelves. We experienced there was a moment, and it was, I think, one of our moments. We went and did some filming in a particular area, and my wife was surrounded by about five different security personnel. It was the strangest thing. But, I mean, it was already a bit of a strange situation because we were in an empty part of Beijing. And we just looked at each other after her being surrounded by these security personnel gently but still interrogating her to find out whether we were journalists or not, and what are we reporting, anything, what are we sending home, what are we sharing with people in the outside world. And that was one of the big red flags for us.
Wow. And was it that point that you decided that you needed to get a plane back home?
Yeah, so within 2 days we were packed, our flights were booked, and we were ready to go. I mean, we were actually ready to go within a day, 24 hours, but then our flight itself was pushed back, so we had to wait another day. But it was near the end, it just snowballed, and it was very quick. And I must tell you, I appreciated what was going on. I mean, we were nervous about it, but I'm so very grateful for the way that the Chinese government responded to the threat that they had finally cottoned onto. I mean, it took a little bit of time, as we know now in retrospect, understanding what actually had happened there. But I think the measures that they took to or have taken to control and to do what they've done, it's immense. It's incredible. I mean,
Yeah. They
were geographically, Beijing is large, but not that big. And there, what is it, 20 million people within the city limits. And it's an incredible feat. Certainly, I mean, we weren't in Wuhan. We weren't anywhere close to the other action. But it's an incredible thing to see that machine turn on and do what they do. There's only one or two other nations in the world that could possibly pull that off, and most of them are going to probably be in the eastern bloc there.
Now, what is incredible is that they've managed to completely contain the virus in Wuhan, and people are actually going back to work now. They've started to the last beds have been vacated, and everything seems to be going more or less back to normal, and that's because they could implement these quite draconian measures. What would you say to South Africa? Do you think we're being a bit cavalier?
I think we are way behind. It's making me quite nervous. Not so much because of, well, for those of us who are healthy, not because we're going to be killed by a virus, but certainly because we have loved ones that are under threat. As a result of the type of activity that we've seen in other parts of the world, I think we should be doing some really. I don't want to be overly critical, but I think we could do a lot more to make sure that we're safe.
Sure. Okay. Well, you're currently quarantining, you and your wife. Have you been out to the shops? Are you very careful about where you go? Even though you guys have no suspicion that you're ill, you're obviously taking it very carefully. What precautions are you putting into play?
Yeah, so, excuse me. So we arrived the end of January. So we've been here for about 7-8 weeks. And the first thing that I absolutely insisted on is we're not going anywhere near my family and her family, which is down in Cape Town, because we've got grandparents and so on. And so we were fortunate to have friends that have an Airbnb, and they allowed us to go straight in there. And we just stayed. We stayed put, and we did what we had to do, certainly for that 14-day window, because we were worried about what might have been picked up in transit on the aircraft. Before that, we were quite confident because we had taken necessary precautions.
Right.
Right now we remain in that hypervigilant state, and so we have gone to the shops. I mean, we need supplies, but what we aren't doing is we're not engaging in major or any really social activity. It's the responsibility is on every single individual to make sure that their families are safe, and we're taking that or making that our highest priority to stay free from any kind of infection that we may pass on to friends or loved ones. So we're introverts. So it's not a major problem for us to be sitting indoors and studying and reading and doing what we do. But so we're lucky that way. But we do often feel the niggle to just go and spend some time with some other people, but then we just go outside and we walk under the trees, and we're lucky to have that here.
Yeah, good for you, and well done that you managed to, first of all, make the decision to get out of China at the time that you did, because you might have been prevented from travel if you'd waited any longer, and second of all, for doing the right thing once you'd got here. Very good stuff.
Oh, no, thanks, Gareth.
All right, thank you very much, Gareth, and glad that you guys are okay. Look after yourselves.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you guys too. Thank you.
There's Gareth Armstrong, host of Future CEOs, which is a long-running show here on cliffcentral.com, and someone who's back in the country with his wife self-quarantining, something we are all going to be forced, I suspect, to do very, very soon. So put into play what you can. I heard doctors are doing online consultations more and more at the moment. And if you think about it, certain things you can do at a distance – what are your symptoms? Tell me what you're feeling. Can you take your temperature? Those kinds of things. Yeah. So we're going to have to watch it. I read an interesting article by Melanie Favut on News 24. She said her family have COVID-19. And I'm just going to read some of the highlights of this from the article so that you can get some idea of what they were going through, just so you know how it can vary. She said that the symptoms differed vastly in her family. My one child was desperately ill. She ran a high fever for about 4 days, developed a bad cough, and became very short of breath. For all of us, it started with diarrhea, and we bizarrely lost our sense of taste and smell. However, for my son, it felt more like a bad head cold. We never had a fever, but we did feel extreme exhaustion, had sore throats and tight chests. Given the severity of my daughter's symptoms, we knew it was likely she contracted the virus before it was confirmed. However, if it wasn't for her, and of course the public awareness education, we would have assumed it was just a bad cold. So this is the good news. For most people, it will feel only like a head cold. But this is also the bad news, because you can have it and not even know it, and by not distancing yourself from others, you will infect other people who are not as strong as you are and might die from it.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? And she says, which is something we've spoken about before, in our country where millions of people have compromised immune systems, this epidemic will take them from very, very ill and make it even worse. They could die if it reaches them. So unless we want to see rows and rows of coffins and mass graves as in Italy and Iran, there is an obligation on all of us to stay at least 2 meters away from people, even when we feel totally healthy.
You know what has been particularly worrying for me, where I've seen absolutely no leadership, is especially in South Africa, is the biggest thing in this country is religion. And nobody is willing to make, because that's an uncomfortable conversation, right? To tell, and nobody is willing to put an iron fist down, because it's kind of being nicey-nicey right now is, okay, we know you're doing, like, you need to put an iron fist down, because these gatherings are 500 and more. There needs to be no negotiation. This is where draconian needs to come, because those are people who can't really afford to go for tests, can't get to tests. And then it's like, I mean, that's just going to be a wildfire. So I've been very disappointed that nobody's willing to really, really stamp that out. But
I chuckled a little yesterday when it got to this point where people on Twitter were reasoning with one of these big charismatic pastors saying, dude, just close down your church. And they were like, okay, think about it like this. If you are still trying to force people to come to church just so that you can get more money from them, they'll come to church today and then they all get sick. A lot of them will die. And then you won't have any more money in future. So rather sacrifice the money you're making today for longer term money that you can make. No, but I was talking to my mother over the weekend. She told me that there aren't any like Easter services that are coming up there. You know, my dad has canceled those.
Okay.
And she isn't going to church. She was meant to go away with her friends over the weekend. She isn't doing that. So at least there are still some responsible people. out there as well.
Mm. But I think we should take it out of their hands, because we know for all the great people like your father, this is where we do need the government has to, and we have to be strong, because this is the biggest threat for South Africa. There's nothing bigger than church in this country.
There are definitely people who are saying, let's pray the virus away.
Mm-hmm. Getting together, holding hands, praying together.
The corona's the devil. Don't let the devil win. Come to church. Mm-mm. It's stupid.
It's a good time to be an atheist.
Amen.
And wait, let's think about it. An introvert, single atheist.
Shit, this is working out well for me. Keep going.
Likewise. Yeah, tell me more.
No, I'm telling you that we can joke. Some people, listen, there are going to be some people who also lose their sense of humor over the next while. Let's not be those people, because although there's serious news and there's lots to consider and we all have responsibilities now that we didn't have a month ago, let's not lose our sense of humor, please. There's nothing worse in the world than humorless people, especially in a crisis. You just want to drown them.
Oh, jeez.
You do.
Well, and then in conclusion, though, the truth always has a way of coming out. There's a man who is in the UK who has tested positive to the coronavirus. And now it's also been revealed that
he was
lying. Hey,
Leanne, are you still there? I'm sorry. I didn't even realize.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm still here.
I had your your sound right down, so obviously that was
pretty. I know. I had a few things to say, but you know.
Oh, sorry.
Well, you're on now, so once Sia's told us this story, it's all yours.
So as
Matt's enjoyed conversation.
So as this man has tested positive for the virus and was dealing with medical teams, it has also come out as to where he actually contracted the virus. And it's very clear that he was lying about his whereabouts. He told his wife that he was on a work trip within the UK. It turns out he went to Italy with his mistress.
Yes. Yes. Come on.
Okay. You know, this is always very embarrassing.
And then I absolutely love what the medical staff have said. They said, you know, he's in self-isolation right now. He's being well-treated. It seems like he will actually recover, but we aren't sure that his marriage will recover.
Sure.
Speaking of the
isolation for much longer than he thinks.
Yeah,
what an idiot.
Speaking of his marriage surviving, a friend of mine had to also cancel his wedding. And I said, oh, well, you better hope she doesn't change her mind in this time. He didn't like that as an immediate response.
All right, well, Leanne, what else have you heard? What else have you got going on in terms of news that you've seen? Because there's some very, really interesting and cool, useful articles being published, and then there's also a lot of bullshit and fake news and paranoia.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one thing that interested me the most on an international level was that Iran rejected Donald Trump's virus aid offer, saying, no one trusts you, dude.
Really?
No one trusts you. They said, you are capable of bringing into our country a drug that will keep the virus alive and prevent its eradication. America offered aid, but they've turned it down. And I also quite enjoy watching Trump on TV when the various other officials are around him and talking. And you can see that not much of it's going into his head. He just stands there with the same pose and doesn't really know what's going on. And I think, thank goodness, there are these other leaders around him, because and when he goes to the podium, that's also my favorite. Everybody else's faces just kind of freeze and they're thinking, what is he going to say?
Yeah, even those, like, I think it's like three people behind him who I think they each have a pep talk. Yeah. I don't know who they are in his team, but I think they give each other a pep talk before they go out for a press conference. Like, okay, folks, we'll do this. We'll survive it. And no one blinked too much. No one changed their facial expression.
And he always comes out and says, I just want to say, Anthony Fauci's doing a great job. Great job. He always says that his people and he himself are doing a great job. That's the number one thing on his agenda. After that, he talks a little bit about himself some more. Then he talks about how he's spoken to various governors. But it has been interesting. And then, of course, he saves a bit of vitriol for the media. He trolled the hell out of the media over the weekend, which was funny, I have to say. Because the media also, I think, are responsible in large degree for creating panic and for spreading a lot of nonsense that was unnecessary throughout this epidemic. And he has a go at them. He says, you're all sitting too close to each other. there are at least 70% of you could go. We don't need all of you. I think we've got to thin out the numbers. That's probably a good health decision.
Yeah. I felt bad for a journalist who just simply asked the president, what does he have to say about people who are panicked right now? And President Trump
said,
just,
you are the one who's making them panic. I keep telling people,
you're a horrible
don't
journalist.
Panic. You are a terrible journalist. You are fake news. And he chased them out of the room, basically. And you know what? Maybe it's a good thing is to show some leadership and tell people to calm down.
That guy actually genuinely clutched his pearls. Like he was holding onto his chest, not believing.
All right. I don't know if you've heard this.
One of the journalists said, I just want to start off by saying that you guys have been doing a really good job. And he said, yeah, now that's good journalism. He said, go on.
Oh.
And he just took in all praise and then spoke about it more.
So I don't know if you've seen this, but the Kiffness, I think, put out a video version of Toto's Africa, but it's the COVID-19 version. Just take a listen to this quickly.
A lonely yoke goes toiling Friday nights as he grows restless, longing for a Betty to keep him company. He knows that he must do what's right, but he ignores Cyril's call for us to chill in quarantine. I don't think you realize COVID-19's coming.
Been going around as well. Please stay home, South Africa. Yeah, a lot of people excited about that. I can't find lemon anywhere here. Maybe Damon was right. One can manage the virus with lemon. Damon had
some. No, we have a lemon tree in my garden.
Oh, you have a lemon tree. That's useful. So just give us your address again so we can come and, and rob you and raid your lemons.
No ways.
Yeah.
I buried my toilet paper underneath it.
Oh.
Did you see
you
that video?
You are rich.
Did you see that video of that family in Portugal that were planting toilet rolls? And
what
in,
for?
Well, making toilet paper trees, obviously.
This is when I do believe perhaps, you know, this virus is not the worst thing to happen to us.
All right. Ben Stiller had some things to say. He's got a message for all the young people. Ben Stiller. Listen to what he has to say.
Hey, guys. I got a message for all you young people out there who think that it's business as usual. It's not. We really have to all stay at home. It's the only way that we're going to stop the spread of this virus. And it's only going to work if we all do it together. And even if you're not worried about yourself, think about protecting the older people in your life who you love, who are very susceptible. So please stay at home and take this as an opportunity to, you know, take a breath and maybe read some books or watch some movies or take up a hobby. I've always been interested in chainsaw art. Never had the time to explore it. And now through the miracle of the internet, with some tutorials and Etsy, I've been able to really get into it. I mean, I know nothing about it, but I'm learning every day. So stay home. And remember, we're all New York tough. Governor Cuomo and I thank you.
All right. Well, there's some useful info from Ben Stiller. And then he
chainsaw
he gets
art.
His chainsaw art going. Yeah, he actually switches on the chainsaw at some point and starts chopping into a piece of wood.
Where the mouth opening is. Now I'm going to start cutting this away. His lip's kind of going to round out and down in. And then it'll be doing all the beard underneath here.
Yes,
now,
up
it's okay if yours doesn't look exact. The whole point is to be artistic.
He's watching a tutorial. It's hilarious. All right. So people are taking up different hobbies, and you might want to do one as well. So at least he's funny about it, right? Like I said, no,
what are you planning on doing?
No humorlessness. Well, I don't know yet. I haven't thought about it because as far as I was concerned, we would still be doing normal stuff, but that's all going to change for all of us.
Yep. I think I'm going to go out and buy some of those Korean face masks that I've wanted to use, because I can walk around all day with face masks on my face if I wanted to.
You can, actually. I've got a proper respirator mask that also has filters on it that can, you know, like keep out harmful chemicals and things. So it's a very high filter, high level of kind of, what would you call it? It's a very fine filter. It keeps out everything.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try that on and just see if it's worth wearing that out when I go and shop. It'll probably freak some people out.
Yeah, that's good. Take it to Chernobyl levels.
Yeah, Chernobyl levels. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
With
you. I mean, if you're going to go big or go home, right?
Yeah.
No point otherwise. All right, just to keep you up to date, the facts are, according to the World Health Organization at the moment and a collation of data across all governments with confirmed cases, 343,542 altogether. That includes people who have recovered. Mm. All right, so 343,542 as of a few seconds ago. The total number of people in the world who have died from this disease, 14,750. It's a lot of people. You know, even though we compare it to flu and we compare it to car accidents and heart disease and all these kinds of things, heart attacks, obviously this is something to be concerned about because of its virulence. There are only 9,196 who are considered very serious cases at the moment, but 97,603 people are already recovered completely from the virus. So let's just keep an eye. I said the other day 140-odd countries were infected. Now there are 173 countries who are reporting.
Wow.
And at the top of the list is China still. China. Sorry, how do you say that? China. And right at the bottom is Nepal. Nepal in the Himalayas, only one confirmed case.
Those monks are doing something right.
Yeah. So that's the place to obviously be if you want to make a complete recovery. Ironically, not that far from China. So the country with the most is right at the top. Country with the least is right near it, actually. Okay, everybody, that's all we got time for today. We will catch you tomorrow, no matter how we do this. We're going to figure out a way of doing it from remote locations, from all over the place. And we would love to hear from you, Leanne. Thank you very much for being on Skype, even though I ignored you for about 15 minutes there. We'll figure a way of doing this better tomorrow.
It sounded good, huh?
Didn't sound too bad.
And then I'd offer a song, but, you know,
what's your song?
Diana Ross's Reach Out and Touch Somebody's Hand is appropriate. No, it's not appropriate during corona times.
You don't think so?
Diana Ross is always appropriate.
Reach out and touch.
She's an angel.
Somebody's sanitized hand.
Okay, that's better, but I'd prefer if you didn't sing.
Oh. So
I think I will play it just because it's cheesy as hell. Didn't Felicia used to play this all the time on her show? All right, so here it is. Just for Sia, all right?
She was in Atlanta.
Everybody have a happy day. And keep it on cliffcentral.com. We'll update you via social media too.
Reach out and touch somebody's hand.
Oh,
make this world a better place if you can. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Take a little time out of your busy day.
All right, enough of that. Thank you.
CliffCentral.com